their own city. Their city had been attacked and
everybody taken, everything taken. And they were weeping, you know, and they even threatened to attack David. And David asked God, he said, shall I pursue the troop? That is, shall I pursue the people who came and attacked this place? He said, will I, give me a little volume. He said, will I overtake them? And God answered and he said, pursue. He said, you will overtake, but God didn't stop there. He said, and you will recover all. So David didn't even ask for recovering all. David said, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? Will I be able to catch up with them? You know, and of course, if they've come, they've attacked the place, you'll expect maybe a few people are dead that were captured. You'll expect a few things have been lost that were taken, that I won't get them all back, but shall I pursue them? Will I catch up with them? Will I be able to get back anything? You know, will I be able to catch them at all? That's where his faith stopped. I'm speaking specifically to somebody. I'm saying that because as they spoke, it hit me that, oh my God, that's a confirmation of what God was saying. You know, and David's faith stopped at that point of, will I be able to overtake? And then God said something shocking. God said, pursue them. You'll overtake, but you'll also recover everything. So there's somebody who thought, well, things are gone. I've lost this, I've lost that. You've given up on it. But God is saying you will recover all. You'll get it all back. You know, it's almost like Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who had no children. Zechariah was a priest, went in to offer offerings in the temple. And then he saw an angel and the angel said, you are blessed. And then the angel said, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. But in the actual literal translation, what he said was, Zechariah, the prayer you have stopped praying, the prayer you have stopped praying has been heard. Meaning the prayer you have given up on, the prayer that you have just felt, well, what did you try? You know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. You just don't even want to go there anymore. You don't want to go there in your mind. You don't want to go there in your emotion anymore. You just leave it. The prayer I've been praying, God is saying that prayer has been heard. Are you with me? And this is the time for the answer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. While we are at that, I felt also that there was somebody with ringing in the ear. It's a nasty thing, actually, when you have ringing in the ear. And I believe that that's just popped. You are healed in Jesus' name. You know, when you have that thing, even the sound as they are singing, it's almost irritating you. It's the way it feels in your hair, but it's gone. Lord, we exalt you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for Power Convention 2024. Thank you for the things you have said. Thank you for the things you have done. Thank you for the things you will still say and do, even this morning. Thank you because you are still touching lives even now. And none of us will go back the same way we came. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's been the theme verse that we've been looking at. So again, I welcome you to Power Convention 2024. We've had a wonderful time since Thursday. And I believe that there are things. First, there are already miracles, and there are miracles in motion. There are those that are done, manifested. There are those that are manifesting. Amen. And there are those that will manifest. Hallelujah. But you just realize something happened. You realize something has changed. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, now thanks be to God who always, can I hear you say always? Now thanks be to God who always, there's always a key word when you read the Bible, and pay attention to the key word because those key words make a difference in that verse. So when the Bible says, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The key word in that verse is the word first. Are you with me? It means that if you take that word out, it's the operational word. Everything in there will not make sense in that sense. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything in there will not gel in our modern language, except that word first is there. So what makes that verse work is that you put the kingdom of God first. It's not seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to seek it first. It must have a priority place in your life and in your pursuits for the other things to be added. So similarly here, the Bible says to us that now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Verse 15 says for. The word for is like the word therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you stop to see what it's there for. Okay, so the word for means because. And you don't start normally a sentence with because it means that there's something that had gone before it that would be lost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so when it says for or because, then you have to understand that that word is a conjunction. It means that the two verses go hand in hand. Okay? So for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. And what that's telling us ordinarily is that God always, as long as we are in Christ, God's plan, God's purpose, God's intent, what God does is that he, not sometimes, not a few times, not even most times, but God always leads us in triumph in Christ. So as long as you are walking in step with Christ, he always leads us in triumph in Christ. And what I'd been saying from the first day was the fact that, you see, the because there, or verse 14 there, tells us that God does it because there's a stake that is bigger than you. God does it because he needs to make you. You are his fragrance of Christ. You are, in quotes, his advertisement. You are his attraction, or you have attractive value to him. And so he has an intention, or he is committed to your victory because you are his signpost. You are his advertisement. You are his perfume. And you have to be sweet smelling. And the only way that happens is that you enjoy victory always. Can I hear say victory always? And so on Thursday, I began to speak about the victor's mentality. And that's what I spoke about. The fact that that must be your thinking. The fact that God is more committed to my life and my success and my victory than I am to it myself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The fact that God loves me irrevocably. The fact that God has a stake in my life that is bigger than what I have in my own life. That's why the Bible will declare Romans chapter 8, and he said, if he will give his only begotten son for you, how much more will he not with him freely give us all things? He's saying that if God had committed himself that much, there's no going back as far as God is concerned. Can I have an amen? So God is irrevocably committed to your victory, and that must be the mentality. Now that mentality must stick with you, and it must be there especially in the dark times of life. Especially when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Especially at the times when you don't understand what is going on, you must know that God's got you. Hallelujah. And that's why, Job went through a dark year. The theologians tell us that old book of Job is 1 year to 16 or 18 months, thereabout, 1 to 1.5 years. And it was a very dark period in the life of Job. But Job declared in Job 23, he said, I go forward, I don't see him. I go backwards, I don't perceive him. To the right, to the left, I don't see him. He said, but he knows. Hallelujah. He said, but he knows the way that I take. He said, and when I am tried, I will come out as pure as gold. Are you with me? And then James referred to Job. And James said, we consider them blessed who endure. He said, for we have seen the endurance of Job and the end intended by God. Meaning that, listen, we saw by Job 42, the last chapter, that Job was very blessed at the end of that 1.5 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But James was explaining to us that the only reason was because Job had a victor's mentality. That is that Job refused to give up. They even told him, they said, curse God and die, Job. Curse God and die. You are going through too much. And Job said, no, though he slay me, yet will I praise him and serve him. And James said, Job allowed us to see how blessed people who endure are. He said, because Job allowed us to see that God's intended end was a better end than even what he had before he went through a crisis. Hallelujah. So the victor knows that God has you. The victor knows that God loves me. The victor knows that God won't leave me alone. The victor knows that even when I'm faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. The victor knows that as a father pities his children, so does the Lord the people that love and fear him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so he's watching out for you. The victor knows that the steps of a good man, Psalm 37, 23, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in every detail of their lives. Are you still there? And by the next time I spoke about the SOPs, standard operating procedures for victory. Normally, people, organizations would have operating procedures. They standardize it. They say to yourself that if you see this, you do this. Then the next thing you do is this. Then step four, three is this. Then step four is this. So that everybody there who will follow those steps can achieve the same thing. So if it's a machine, you are producing something. They say, look, this is the first thing you do. Switch on the machine at the wall. Switch on the power switch. Then the next thing, you turn this gear. Then the next one, you move this one to the left. Because they are saying that anybody who follows that procedure, who is trained and follows that procedure, will be able to produce the things that the machine is supposed to produce at all times, and even without supervision or assistance. Are you with me? And then we saw, what are those standard operating procedures that God has? And we were looking at that from Joshua chapter 6, and how God had said to Joshua, I have given you the land of Jericho, but it didn't look like it, because Jericho was securely shut up. Securely shut up. So it didn't look like it. And yet God was speaking the opposite. He was looking at Jericho. It was impenetrable. And God said, I've given it to you. I mean, even if they could make it through just the fence, there were mighty men of valor inside. Even God spoke about them. So there were many layers of trouble. Many layers of resistance to their getting the victory. There was the fence. There was the gate. There were the armies. Mighty men of valor. And it was then securely locked up. Even the Bible called it securely locked up. But yet God said, to Joshua, he said, see. Hallelujah. He said, see. And what I'm asking you to see is not the fence, is not the padlock, is not the army. He says, see, I have given you that place. Ah, God, what I'm seeing is different. So what God was saying is, don't look in the natural, look at the things that are not seen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He said, our light afflictions are for a moment, and they work for us a greater reward of glory. He said, but in the interim, in order to get there, we do not look at the things that we see, but we look at the things that we don't see. We look at the things that we can't see. How do you look at the things that can't be seen? Are you still there? Because there is a spiritual world that controls the physical. And so God was saying to us, he said, while we look at the things that are, we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen, because the things that we can see are temporary. Hallelujah. Can I hear you say they are temporary? Temporary things shouldn't make you make permanent decisions. Are you hearing me? Don't make permanent decisions because of temporary situations. How many people have been through something and you thought this thing will be the end of me? And before you knew it, that thing had dissolved away. How many people have ever been there? You thought this will be the end of me, and then it is gone. Now, if you had made a permanent decision like committing suicide, You have caused yourself trouble for nothing, because that thing was going to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So while we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, and not only so, they are subject to change by the things which are not seen. Are you still with me? They came to attack Elijah. And Elisha's servant Gehazi woke up in the morning. He opened the window blinds and he saw the army. The man screamed, "Master! Moko, we're in trouble." I'm sure he would have regretted working for Elisha that day. That's the day we say, I shouldn't have applied for this job. This man will just definitely kill somebody one day, the way he's been behaving, which is prophetic. Are you hearing me? And he screamed. And the man said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Look, the army, we are surrounded." And then Elijah said something to him. He said, "They that are with us are more than them." And he asked God, he said, "Open his eyes so that he can see." So when God was telling Joshua and say, "See," he said, "There are things that you can't see in the physical, but they are actually more and mightier than the things you can see." Are you still there? You know, I was reading the book of Hebrews, and it talks about we don't come to the mountain that can't be touched. He said we come to that mountain, and he listed all kinds of things, and he talked about the innumerable company of angels. And I thought to myself, do you know the innumerable company of angels that go with us as a body of Christ? Can I hear you say innumerable? It means you can't number, it can't be counted. Are you hearing me? So when you move, there are armies with you. You are not alone. Are you hearing me? You are not alone. You move with a troop. You move with a troop. As we sit here, there are angels. They are more than you in numbers, and they even go with you when the service is over. Psalm 34, verse 7. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps. Oh my God. Are you still here, anybody? I'm talking about just, you can go and listen to the message. The SOPs. You have to be able to see and be seeing the things that are not seen. I'm not saying begin to look for all kinds of anjono all over the place. No. I'm just saying if you look in the Word of God enough, you will begin to be able to see the spiritual things that God has said, and they will become more real to you than the person who is next to you. And that's how the very first step in the SOP of victory is that you have to be seeing things differently from the way everybody sees them. Everybody will see a challenge, but you have to see it differently. You have to see it from God's perspective. Matthew 16, they stood there, Jesus was describing his death. And to the disciples, they were despondent. And I don't blame them. They had left their jobs. They had left their jobs to follow him. And it was good to follow him. It was exciting. They were paying taxes without any money. They didn't even need bank account. They woke up, they go and fish, you can take money out of the fish. That's an exciting lifestyle. You understand? Things were working. They were breaking bread and it wasn't finishing. Feeding 5,000 people. And they were packing, remnants, 12 baskets full. They were seeing all kinds of miracles. They were seeing the dead being raised to life, lepers being cleansed. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, "I'm going to die." That's lack of job security. You understand what I'm talking about? That's terrible. Okay, why didn't you say that before? Why did you allow us to leave everything and follow you? Now we have left. Now you now say you are dying. Dying for what? So the Bible says Peter rebuked him. He pulled him aside and rebuked him. Mama, sororo bemo. You understand? Because that is implications for us. You just talk anyhow like that. And just echo julu agbam. Die, call dying. And then Jesus answered him. He said, "Look. Get thee behind me, Satan." He was speaking of the spirit behind it. He said, because you are not seeing things from God's perspective, you are seeing them from man's perspective. So for the SOP, you have to be able to see it from God's perspective. Look at your neighbor, say, "See it from God's perspective." And we said, you follow God's instructions. Because God will give you instructions from time to time. He will tell you what to do from time to time. And he told them, circle that place you see. Circle it once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, circle it 7 times. And at the seventh time, you will shout. He said, and that whole fence you see, that huge wall, will fall flat. And we said, why didn't God say, just circle it 7 times on the first day and shout? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why didn't they also just look at it and say, well, If he's shouting 7 times, that will bring it down. Why wait 6 days? Abi? Why wait 6 days? Let's go to the thing. You know the way we used to do it, wuru-wuru to the answer. How many people did wuru-wuru to the answer when you were in school? Yeah, you are all now. You are, we pray for all of you. Yes, and they will give us those books. They said your homework is chapter 2, Lacombe, baby. Then you take Lacombe home, then so you will have the answer book. Then you go and look at the answer of that sum. So you see the answer, then you go back and now begin to walk your way to the answer. Then when you walk it and you get the answer and you give it to the teacher, then they give you half. You say half. Then he said, yes. He said, because your workings are not clear. It's not logical going from step to step. Because you knew the answer and you just walked your way. Phew, wuru-wuru there. Are you with me? Some of us are still doing wuru-wuru to the answer with God. But God gives specific instructions. You follow them. And I hear you say, follow them. Listen, those instructions are not always general instructions. He will tell you certain things that are specific to you. Follow those instructions and do them. He will tell some, listen, there are people, for instance, who are giving all of their first salary of a year and telling everybody to do so, but only because God told him to do so. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God told you to do it, do it. It's not a doctrine of the church. If God, listen, long ago when I was in the university, God told me to stop cutting style. But it's not a doctrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's an instruction to me, which I had to follow. So God will give you specific instructions. This is what you need to do. This is what you should be doing. And you start doing what God asked you to do. If you will do it as he asked you to do, even if people around you don't understand, even if you don't understand it, that will be your pathway to victory. That's your SOP to victory. Can I have an amen? And we said that those instructions tend to bring out endurance. Because he was telling them, do it 6 days. 7 days, you do 7 times. Why? Because God is trying to teach endurance. That some things take time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some things take time. They don't happen overnight, but it takes time. And if you will learn patience, if you learn endurance, then you'll be a victor all the time. Can I have an amen? Therefore, Hebrews 10:35 says, you will have need of confidence. You have need of confidence. He said, for I haven't drawn the will of God. You need endurance to be able to obtain the promise. You have to be able to just stand there until you get it. Hebrews 10:35-36. You have to be able to stand there. You need it. Tap your neighbor, say you need endurance. And secondly, the instructions of God usually lead you to total dependence on God. He will tell you things so that you will get to a place where, except you follow those instructions, things don't work. And what he's trying to teach you is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you there? And today I felt God saying, talk about getting victory and keeping it. Getting victory and keeping it. So you're coming from big battles, tough things, difficult situations. It's how do you get the victory and you keep the victory? Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark the 5th chapter. And we'll read Mark chapter 5 from verse 24. Mark chapter 5. Are you still here? I said, are you here? For the first time, listen, it's freezing. Mark chapter 5. We read from verse 25. The Bible says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Because she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around, verse 32, to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So this woman faced a tough challenge, as we read. Bleeding for 12 years, trying all she could, spent all that she had, sought all the help she could. Not only did she not get better, the Bible says she rather grew worse. So things were worse than they were despite her best efforts. I can imagine, just like you can, that that woman must have been in great despair. You can imagine that that woman would probably have given up on everything. You can imagine that that woman would have become skeptical. When you tell her, "Look, there's this thing that can be done, there's this same thing we can do, there's that place you can go, you can pray like this," and all of that, you can imagine that nothing moves her anymore. She signed off and thought to herself, "This has been too long, and I've done what I could." You know, the way we'll say it, say, "I assume this is my cross." I always say to people that anybody with chronic conditions are difficult to deal with, because they think, "This is my cross. I have to accept it. I have to take it like that. I have to live with it." I said recently, we have people who were itching. Every time they took bath with water, they would itch and itch and itch. And somebody actually said it wasn't just bathing with water for her. She said every time she even would shake some, if you shake her a bit hard, you know, and violently, said she would start to itch. And said to prevent that, she had to take an antihistamine every day. I thought, "Whoa, really? You take antihistamine every day just for a handshake or whatever? And you just itch." But all of a sudden, God touched her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All of a sudden, being in a service, God touched her. Said it took a few days for her to realize, come. She wasn't even actually believing God for that thing to go. She came out for something else to check. But I just realized that when hands were laid on me a few days ago, this thing stopped. I forgot to take the antihistamine and I'm not itching. I've not been itching for some time. God has set me free. Are you still there? Many years ago also, you know, just like this woman. The Bible says that the woman haven't given up on everything. But the Bible said that she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. So number one thing I want to say to you today about getting victory and keeping it is that you have to be careful about what you hear. Be intentional about what you hear. She didn't just hear that there was a Jesus. She heard about him. What did she hear about? She must have been hearing all kinds of stories. This was Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible talks about the fact that there were people with demons and all kinds, and Jesus cast them out. The Bible says that, in fact, by the end of Mark chapter 1, there was a leper who came to him, and he said, "Master, if you are willing, you can cleanse me." And Jesus said, "I am willing." You know, many times also, people don't have a problem with the power of God. They are wondering whether God is willing to bless them. They're wondering whether God is willing to do this for them or do that for them. And that was the problem of that leper. He said, "Look, if you are willing, I don't doubt your ability, but I'm wondering whether you are willing. You know me. You know all my problems. Little me. I don't know whether I'm worthy." He said, "So if you are willing," and Jesus said, "I am willing." And the man was cleansed. By Mark chapter 2, they brought a paralytic man. There was no space. The Bible says they removed the roof above where Jesus was preaching, and they put down the paralytic man in front of him through the roof. They just put him down through the roof, and he looked at the man and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And people began cursing. Who does he think he is? Sin cursing. Why? This guy just talks anyhow. Blah, blah. And he said, "Hey, wait." He said, "Which is easier? To say, 'Son, you are healed,' or to say, 'Your sins are forgiven?'" Basically, he was saying to them, this is the same thing. Once God has forgiven your sins, he has taken away everything else with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Jesus died on that cross and took our sins, he took more than just the sins. Salvation is a compound word. It carries more than the washing away of sins. It takes away poverty. It takes away sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It takes away bondages. God set us free from everything. Can I hear you say everything? Everything that used to bind you has been taken out. Colossians 1 says that he has delivered us. One says from the kingdom of darkness. Another one says from the grip of darkness. Whatever the grip of darkness is, he said he has delivered us from that grip. What leave them alone. And planted us in the kingdom of his dear son. Are you hearing me? So this woman was hearing all of those stories that there was a paralytic man, and all he said was, your sins are forgiven. And the man got up and carried the bed and went away. She heard about Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with a fever. You know, I believed God, you know, for healing, divine health and all of that. And I would hear many American preachers, and they say they are walking in divine health. I say it's because they don't have mosquito. They don't have malaria. That's why they can be talking about divine health. If you have mosquito, the one we have here, are you hear what I'm saying? And you have Plasmodium falciparum, the kind of malaria parasite we have here. I would think to myself, whether you can be bragging about this divine health and divine healing you are bragging about. But Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. That's what set me free. I read it one day and I said, fever is fever, Jare. Are you still with me? And all he did was he took her by the hand, rebuked the fever, and she got up. This woman with the issue of blood had been hearing stories. She heard about Jesus. She heard about all the things he was doing. And as she heard them, hope was being born again. As she heard those stories again and again and again, and they told about the paralytic, they told about, and in fact, if you look in Mark chapter 1, I think about verse 30 something, he was saying there, he said he healed people with various diseases and sickness, various, all kinds. So the woman had been hearing stories, and all of a sudden, the woman who had given up began to hope again. All of a sudden, she began to think, maybe there is hope. Listen, but my point is this, don't forget it, which is that it's what she was hearing that was making a difference. The foundation for her miracle was based upon what she was hearing. Are you with me, anybody? If you are sitting down and listening to all kinds of things, when I was in Ibadan, in those days, they used to have what, Inkombe, and all of that. If that's what you are listening to, you'll be filled with fear. Are you with me? But if you are intentional and you are guarding what you are listening to, you are listening to words of faith, you are listening to testimonies of victory from other people, then hope will be born. Faith will be born. No matter what has happened to you, you will start thinking again, if God can do that, God can do this for me. Be intentional about what you are hearing. I was in Ijebu years ago. A lady had been shot an arrow. You know the way we say it. They had shot an arrow literally. And she said she was sleeping and they shot an arrow at her leg. Then she woke up and the place began to itch. Before she knew it, a wound came up there. At that spot, that wound became bigger, became worse. She said she did everything. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She said she did everything, sought medical help, went to church for prayer, did everything. She said it did not grow better. It rather became worse. One day, somebody from that church went around. They were doing evangelism. And they spoke to her about Jesus again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They spoke to her about Jesus again and invited her. We have a program. Come. And the woman said, I stopped going to church. I stopped going. I'd given up. She said, but I don't know why. When that person spoke to me, thank God that person didn't write her off. I said, that woman would have been inviting her since. But he tried again. And the woman said, I don't know why, but I decided I will come. And she came on that day. And I preached on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. And prayed a general prayer. And that leg was instantly healed. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor. Say, be intentional about what you are hearing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Another one says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes your life. So it's what is going in there that determines what is happening in your heart, and what is happening in your heart determines your whole life. Are you still with me? Guard what you allow to come in through the high gate, the ear gate, the things you are hearing. Guard it, guard it. When he says guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, when he says guard your heart, it doesn't mean you don't hear anything. It just means you are selective. You are selective about what you hear. There was a Christmas party here yesterday. There were guards at the gate. They were selecting who can come in. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to be selective. I can't be listening to this one. I don't want to listen to this one. I mean, can you even imagine people watch horror movie and wonder why they're afraid? And then you ask them, say, what's your favorite type of movie? Say, horror movie. But pastor, pray for me. In the night, I don't sleep. I'm always afraid of everything, my friend. Deliver yourself from the horror movie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And start listening to the things that will build faith and hope within you. Can I have an amen? Every time I walked into a hotel and the hotel staff would try to help me, one of the first things they want to do is put on the television. So I say, put it off. I don't need that one. When I need it, I'll put it on. But they think that that's very important and impressive. It struck me. You know, one of the first things they want to put on for me is put on the TV. I said, TV, no. I have many things I need to do. I have many things I need. Not that I don't listen to TV. I'm not saying, are you following what I'm saying? But I'm saying that you have to gauge. You have to gauge. Somebody was saying by the time a child is in high school, they have been exposed to thousands of hours of television. Thousands of hours of school. And if they went to church only for 2 hours on a Sunday, they have been exposed to just about 2,000 hours of God's word. Against about 18,000 to 20,000 hours of unbelief. So if the unbelief and the fear and all of the things you are listening to outweigh the faith that is coming in, you can't have faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's simple mathematics. Okay? You have to gauge what you are taking in so that it determines what really is going on your inside. The woman heard about Jesus. Jesus was speaking, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, take heed what you hear. In the whole of Mark chapter 4, he was speaking about God's word. He taught about God's word, and that's what we call the parable of the sower. And I say to people, study the parable of the sower again and again and again, because the disciples asked him. They said, what about this parable you told? And then he explained the parable to them, and he said, listen, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? He was saying this is the fundamental of how the kingdom of God operates. And it's about God's word settling upon the good heart or the good ground of our heart. He said, once we do that and you keep the weeds away and you ensure you understand it, he said, then it will bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He said, that's basically how the kingdom operates. And then by the time he went on and still kept on teaching about the kingdom, he got to verse 24. He said, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. The Amplifier says the amount of thought and study you give to the words you hear will determine the amount of knowledge and virtue that it returns to you. Are you still with me, anybody? Listen, there's no superhero in God's kingdom. No superhero. It's a function of your study of God's word. It's a function of your regard, respect, attention to God's word. It's a function of how much of it you are taking in. You can determine and create and make yourself to be somebody who is full of faith all of the time. Just adjust the things you are hearing. Luke chapter 8 verse 18, Jesus put it another way. He said, take it how you hear. I mean, don't be casual about it. Don't be casual about God's word. You know, there are people who can sing all the lyrics of any song, Davido, they can sing all the lyrics from start to finish. Then they ask you to say, how do you remember the scripture? How come you remember the scripture like that? Because I don't listen to Davido, or I listen to the scripture like you listen to Davido. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's what I give attention to. It's what I'm hearing. So I'm in the car, that's what I'm hearing. I'm in the bathroom, that's what I'm hearing. So there's a way you just remember. Listen, in the days when we didn't have mobile phones, I knew people's numbers. You know, when you had landlines, even people's cars. I would tell people their car numbers. When they come to pick them in school, I say, your car is here. I say, how do you know? I say, the number is this, this, this. They say, how do you know? I say, I've just been seeing it. I didn't try to cram it. He's seeing it repeatedly. Repeated exposure to it creates memory. Are you still there? Please tap your neighbor again and say, be intentional about what you hear. Because what you hear is important. Number two, the woman didn't just hear, I need to move faster. She acted on what she heard. The Bible says when she heard about Jesus, she went and pressed in the crowd. So she moved forward with what she had heard. She took action on what she had heard. You know, I said to you, I spent a lot of time on talking about hearing because I said that's the foundation. So I can move faster on the other things, but that is the foundation. Meaning that if you will take care of that one, you won't have many problems. Are you with me, anybody? Joshua 1:8, he said, look, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. For that way you shall, he said that way you may, that you may observe to do according to all that is written there. That's what I want you to see. That you may. So that. So what he's saying is this. He's saying that if I ensure that that book of the law is always in front of me, I'm always meditating upon it, I'm always muttering it. He said all of a sudden, I'll find that action is automatic. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what he said. That's what it means by so that you may observe to do. So the observing to do is not something I try to do. What I really do is that I make sure the book of the law does not depart from me. Once I do that, acting upon it comes more naturally. Are you still with me? You know, Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 12. He said, you don't need to walk on the tree to make sure, or you don't need to be trying to force the tree to bring about good fruit. He said, what you do is that when you make the tree good on the inside, then the output of the tree will be good. So it is what is inside that comes out. So the effort is on what goes in. But step two is that you then act on what you have heard. Can I have an amen? Is that you act in line. Faith is actually acting like God's word is true. Faith means you behave like what God said is correct. James chapter 1. James the first chapter. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy. In fact, the Bible says this woman came and she pressed in the crowd. Imagine the woman. Imagine the fact that she had been bleeding for 12 years. Not better, but worse. Meaning that she's weak, she's anemic. And there was a crowd. Unfortunately, we've seen what crowds can do. Even in the past few days here. When you have a crowd, there can be stampings. They can press you. You can die. And not to talk of a woman who was anemic and probably severely anemic. And then she came and she pressed through. So it was not an easy action. But she knew she needed to take action. While you are opening James chapter 1, James chapter 2 tells us, and I believe that's verse 26. It tells us that faith without action is dead. And the actual translation of the word action is corresponding action. Meaning that there's an action that fits what you say you believe. Are you with me? In fact, if you begin further up, I think there about verse 18. He says, somebody will say, I will show you my faith and you show me your works. He said, no. I said, I will show you my faith by my works. Meaning that your works show us or reveal to us what you truly believe. What you truly believe is seen in your action and is seen in your lifestyle. It's not enough to say, I believe. You know, I trust God is a Christian lingo. How many people know what I'm talking about? It's Christian lingo. When you have complained and complained and complained and complained, they say, anyway, sha, I trust God. Anyway, sha, I'm believing God. In a lie. Because just after that conversation, the very next conversation will also be about complaining about the same things. Are you with me? The Bible says faith without corresponding action is dead. James 1:22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself. He goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks as present continuous. Meaning that this doesn't happen one time. This doesn't happen over 2 days. This doesn't happen over 2 weeks. This doesn't happen over 2 years. This is present continuous. The man who looks. You look again. You continue to look. Are you hearing me? That lifestyle must continue. He said, but the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In fact, when he talks about looks, he was describing in the original Greek what you do when you are trying to look inside a well to see something. Meaning that you are taking a good look. And he said you take a good look again. And again, and again. In Lagos, we will have, for instance, the School of Miracles on the first Thursday of every month. And the purpose is that you will take a look again, and again, and again at the miraculous power and word of God. Because someday you will need a miracle. And you will not be able to feed on yesterday's faith to get it today. Somebody said Thomas's faith can't get you Abraham's blessing. Or do I like Thomas now? Are you with me? I said, are you still there? So there is a continuous thing, and that leads to continuous action going with it. Number three, let me say to you, you have to keep a tab on your speech. The Bible says the woman came and pressed in the crowd, for she said, for she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. Actually, the original actually said, for she kept saying. So it wasn't something she said once or twice. It's something she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. If you are going to get your victory, you have to keep saying the victorious words. Are you with me, anybody? You have to keep saying them again and again and again. I was talking yesterday about Billy Buck, who was healed in Ketrin Kuma's meeting as a 10-year-old boy with a brain tumor. And one of the things he said, my grandmother prepared me for that miracle. She said, because she is my grandmother, she kept telling me, she said, when I take you to that meeting and that woman lays hands upon you, you'll be healed. Say that after me. He said, when you take me to the meeting and that woman lays her hands upon me, I'll be healed. He said, and the grandmother kept pushing him, say it again and again and again. He said, she prepared me. That woman knew how these things work and she prepared me. He said, when I got to that meeting and Ketrikuman asked that I be brought, he said, and she laid hands upon me, 4 rows of people fell with me. I was healed. The woman with the issue of blood kept saying, if I may, but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? Listen, you see, faith and your confession go hand in hand. Faith goes hand in hand with your answer to prayer. Just like I was saying earlier, Mark 11:23-24, for instance. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Abi? It says whatever. But then, it didn't start like that. It started with what? Therefore. And I hear it say therefore. It means that what he said before is connected to this one. This one is telling me that I can have answers to my prayers. But what he said before, he said, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that what you say will come to pass, then you shall have whatsoever you say. Therefore, meaning that my confession can wipe out my prayer. My My confession must go hand in hand with my prayer, must go hand in hand with what I'm praying for. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? I can't pray and go out and say something else. They must flow in the same direction. That's the way it works. There are too many people canceling their prayer. They will pray, they will pray, they will pray, they will pray. And then they get out and they cancel everything. As even a lady, a pastor said, was believing God for her husband to be saved. And they will pray with her. He will ask the church to pray and believe God with her. And she said one day, the pastor went home and had lunch with them. And he heard the woman talking. And the way she would talk, and she would run down the church. She would run down people in the church. She would say all kinds of things. I don't even know why Christians behave this way and all that. And the man said, from today, we are not praying with you again for your husband. You are the problem. You are the one who's been hindering all our prayers for your husband. Because after you run everything down, you cancel everything we've been praying. The man hears all of that and he says, and that's what she wants me to become. She's the one who said these Christians are terrible. Christians can betray somebody, or they backstab somebody. In fact, I prefer to do business with unbeliever. And then you are telling him he should become a believer. Are you still here, anybody? Let me go very quickly. So what you say is important. And it's not just what you say in the morning, your 5 minutes of confession. You know, we have a way of making everything into a religious ritual. You know, I will pray. When I finish my quiet time, I have my confession on my fridge. And then I will say my confessions. Then when I finish saying my confession and I step out, anything goes. From then on, anything goes. No. Your confession is what you are saying all day long. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, some of the ones you are saying are more powerful than the one in your fridge. Because they are coming from your heart. You mean it. You have been saying it since. Are you still there, anybody? You need to stop saying certain things. And you need to be watching what you are saying. Tap your neighbor. Say, I know he's not talking about you. You know, in Matthew chapter 12 also, Jesus said something that I like. And he said, you will be brought into judgment for every idle word. That word idle means unemployed. Unemployed means a word that is not directed, a word that is not controlled, a word that you are not saying intentionally for a purpose. He said, so even all those talking anyhow, all those joking anyhow, he said, for all of the idle words, you'll be brought into judgment. I said, can't I just express myself? You can't even crack joke, ordinary joke. Crack it. Keep cracking. That's why you are cracking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, you can crack jokes that are clean. You don't have to crack jokes that will kill you. Are you still there, anybody? You can speak. You can enjoy life. You can have fun. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, if anybody will enjoy life, he said, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking deceit. If you will have good days and enjoy life, if you would love life and see good days. He was quoting directly from Psalm 34. But if you will see good days and enjoy life, can I hear you say, see good days and enjoy life, then you must refrain. The word refrain means you must stop. Hold back your tongue. Why? James told us, he said, that tongue, that is evil. That tongue, if you leave it alone, it will just go and be saying all kinds of nonsense things. That's the way the tongue works. So you have to hold it back, restrain it, control it. Otherwise, it will be saying all kinds of things. And James told us, he said, as small as that tongue is, it sets on fire the whole body. Then it sets on fire the course of nature. It directs the course of nature. It will direct the course of your life and it will set your whole body on fire. Meaning that you will say things and your body is suffering for it. You are having disease because of what you said. And what you have been saying. Are you still with me, anybody? As a basketballer who died in a helicopter crash. Very major, big basketball player. And when I was reading about him, There was a friend of his, childhood friend, they grew up together. He said he had always said that he wanted to die young and be very famous and immortalized when he died. It happened exactly. He died young, very famous, perhaps the number one basketball player known at the time, and he was immortalized by the NBA, the Basketball Association, they immortalized him. So when I read it, I said, ha! This is Bible. Are you hearing me? As a governor who died at 70 plus, ex-governor, and I listened to his interview, and they were interviewing him for his 70th. And the man said, you know, I've been telling God. I said, just give me 70 years. That's all I've been telling God. All my life, I said, just let me reach 70. That's enough. I just want to reach. I listened to it myself. I just want to reach 70. 70 is good enough. He said, because in our family, people don't live that long. He said, so I told God, just let me reach 70. He said, so I'm very grateful to God that I've reached 70. He said, but now that I've reached 70, he said, life is good. He said, so I'm begging God now that I need to go beyond that. He died a few months after. Words has been spoken. Words has been spoken. And he has set the course of nature. Are you with me? Don't joke with these things. Tap your neighbor. Say, don't joke with these things. Lastly, tell your stories. Tell your stories. What do I mean? Tell your testimony. When the woman was healed, Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? The disciples looked and said, Master, touch is from every direction, every corner. We are in a crowd. Jesus said, no, virtue left me. I felt the power when it went. I felt it. Smith Wigglesworth said there's something about faith that will make God jump over 1,000 people to get to you. So there was a touch of faith. There were many people touching him, but there was only one person touching him with a touch of faith. And the power went in that direction. And Jesus stopped. And he waited to take that testimony. He said, who touched me? The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told all of what had happened. And then Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Listen, that woman, hear me carefully. That woman went away with strengthened faith because of her testimony. She was already healed. But she probably would walk away and say, ha, that Jesus is true. He's anointed. Ha, that Jesus power. Damn, body. I just touched the arm like this. I felt it went crack, 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 through me. Pam, and I was healed. Ha, that Jesus. But when she testified, she realized something new. That it was the faith she had. Are you still with me, anybody? She realized that God's power has to be activated by faith. She realized that even though many can be touching him and he's anointed as he is, that power doesn't flow except by faith. A testimony strengthened her faith. Because now Jesus said, daughter, your faith. And said, eh? Guess what? It means that not only was she strengthened for the now, she's strengthened for the next one. Because next time she's going to remember and say, my faith made me whole. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so when people talk about, tell your stories, tell your testimonies, it strengthens you. Of course, it helps us. But it strengthens you. That's why he said they overcame him, Romans 12, 11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Revelations 19, 10 said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning that when the testimonies are going forth, it's like prophesying the next things that will happen. When the testimonies are being shared, it's like speaking into being similar miracles. One of the things, for instance, I've realized is that with the word of knowledge, there are different ways that the gifts of the Spirit operates. I realize that with the word of knowledge, sometimes I just know. Sometimes I feel what the person is feeling. But I realize also that sometimes God just brings somebody's testimony to my mind. That I wasn't thinking in that direction. All of a sudden, that comes to mind. And I slowly realized it. That, God is trying to say to me that kind of thing he did, he's doing it now. Are you there? We need to tell the stories of our victory again and again and again. In Joshua chapter 4, I was referring to that. Joshua was leading the children of Israel. They carried the ark. They got to the river Jordan. And God said, let the priest step in. Once they step in, the river will part. Just like it did with Moses, the Red Sea. He said, when they step in, he said, that river Jordan will part. And they stepped in, and the river Jordan parted. And God said to Joshua, he said, pick 12 men from the 12 tribes. Let them pick 12 stones from that place where the priest stood and the river parted. He said, let them take those stones and keep them. He said, so that when your children ask, as they say, what is this, daddy, this stone you put here, this ugly stone. What is this? Ugly care. Ah, there is story behind that stone. And you will retell the stories of the parting of the Jordan. So that when they are facing a Jordan in their lives, they will realize that that God that did it before can do it again. Are you there? And sometimes my children get upset with me when we're talking and I make them recount a testimony. Because I don't want you to forget it. So I'll ask my son, I say, do you remember when you were in primary school? And you were afraid because you had forgotten your homework at home. And the guy was really afraid. He was crying. Daddy, I forgot the homework. In Lagos, I will drive back homework. You know the traffic. So I saw how distressed he was. So when we got to school, I said, don't worry. So when we packed, I said, state, let's pray. I said, God can do it. God can handle the situation. I said, so let's pray. And we prayed. I said, God, we don't know how you're going to do it, but please handle it that he will not be in trouble. And when he finished school that day, and he got back, I said, hey, by the way, what happened to your homework? He laughed. I said, what? He said, the teacher didn't even ask. So when we talk, I said, do you remember? The, of course, he's a teenager. And I, oh, daddy. I said, my friend, do you remember? Are you still with me? My daughter called me one day and said, Daddy, I want to make my hair. I want to make my hair. And the people I want to make it with, I can't find anybody to make my hair. He said, they're all booked and all that. And I want to make my hair this weekend. Blah, blah, blah. This was a Friday. So I said, okay, let's pray. So we prayed. And I said, God, Christmas. And the next day, I spoke to her about noon. And I said, what happened? She said, those people called me at about 8 a.m. I was still sleeping. Then they said, somebody canceled. So I tell them, do you remember when you wanted to make your hair? Oh, daddy. Say, do you remember? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it will establish you in the faith. That's why David could look. He looked at Goliath and he had an arsenal, not of stones, but of testimonies. He looked back and he said, this guy, he said, you know, guys, there was once a lion. Shabale. There was a bear. This guy, be like one of them. Are you with me? You need to tell those stories again. Tell them again. You know, sometimes it shocks me even how many testimonies I forget. And it's not good though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to sometimes just, the way you worry, turn it around and worry your testimonies. You know what I mean by that? It means start recounting those testimonies, recalling them, bringing them back to mind, thinking about them again and again and again and again. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 21. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies, verse 22, that we are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. Listen, it's what you recall to your mind that determines whether you have hope or you are hopeless. Recall the testimonies. Sit back on your bed. And instead of worrying about what is not happening, start reminding yourself about the things that happened. How God delivered you. How you were in the Red Sea. How you were in the lion's den. And yet nothing happened. The lions just sat there and they lost their appetite. And then all of a sudden you will see that this situation too, no big deal. No big deal. God will get me out of this one. I say, but it looks impossible. Say, yeah, that one too looked impossible. But you don't know anybody. Say, that one too, I didn't know anybody at that time. I say, but the thing has closed. Say, yeah, I remember the one that had closed that time too. Are you with me? That's how you get your victory and you keep your victory. You get it, you keep it. Be intentional about what you hear. Act as if God's word is true. What you hear, act on it. Begin to take steps based on it. Are you with me? Begin to take steps based on it. Begin to take steps based on it and ensure that your confession, which is what you say all of the time. Jennifer Savelle said when he got saved, he said he believed God. He could understand everything. He could understand that God can do this, God can do that. He said, but his biggest problem was that he couldn't understand how God can provide for you. He said that one, he didn't understand it. That he knew God can heal. He didn't have a problem there and all of that. He said, but when you say God can provide, he said that's where he had a problem. That how can God provide? He said, and he would listen to Kenneth Copeland tapes, listen, and he was saying, this man, his mouth is sweet. But this thing, it's not easy like that. He said, because he was brought up on borrowing loans from the bank. He said, so his father got loans for everything. He said, even he had loan for his bicycle when he was going. He said, so he didn't understand it. He said, one day Kenneth Copeland came, he was fixing Copeland's car because he was a panel beater. And Copeland had an accident when he came to preach in that town and he was fixing the car. He said, and then Copeland came in the morning session because there was no morning session that day. So he came to see the car. He said, and that was his opportunity. He said, and Copeland asked him and said, God said that you have some questions. He said, actually I do. He said, how can God provide for me? And Copeland looked at him. He said, your problem is your big mouth. He said, it pained him. He said, when Copeland went, he took all of the Copeland tapes and threw them on the road. He said, my problem is my big mouth. He said, God, can you hear him? He's talking anyhow to me because he doesn't have a problem like me. He said, my problem is my big mouth. God said, yes, your problem is your big mouth. He said, you heard it from Copeland. God said, no, your problem is your big mouth and you will have to learn the vocabulary of silence. He said, what's the vocabulary of silence? He said, if you can't speak faith, shut up. Shut up if you can't speak faith. If you can't say something that's full of faith, shut up. It's better not to say anything. Are you with me? So she kept saying, you'll have to keep saying the right things. Keep saying the right things. Keep saying the right things. And we said, lastly, tell your testimonies. Tell your stories. Let's stand on our feet very quickly. I felt God was telling me yesterday that there were 5 people. You know, we're talking about scriptures that basically and the power of God. That there were 5 people that had not felt the power of God in this way before. That would experience it. We didn't have the time to get there. But I believe even as we worship and minister, God will touch specific people this morning. But I'm just trying to manage time a little bit. When you get into manifestations of the Spirit, actually you need time. You need time. One of the heaviest meetings I've seen with the glory of God, I had to stop after 5 hours because we had reached midnight. But the people were still going. And the Holy Ghost was still going. But I don't know, we need to stop. We need to stop and let the people go. But I just follow the leading of the head of a church. And I want to pray for the choir. Everybody who's in the choir, just where you are, where you are. Just lift your hand in some comfortable form. I believe that God's fire is falling afresh on the choir. They are special ministers because they help us to create an environment, an atmosphere that allows God to move. And as we worship this morning, I felt God was saying there's a special fire. There's a fresh fire. There's a fresh fire. There's a fresh fire coming upon people in the choir. Yakabash. Saprakabash to Pokondos. Yeah, fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Makaros Tabrahande Sokondo. Yeah. Yeah, it's coming on stronger and 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 stronger. Everybody else just praying in the spirit. Everybody else praying in the spirit. Father, thank you because your fire falls upon them all, one and all. Thank you. Thank you for increasing that voltage. Yeah, getting stronger. Thank you, Lord, for increasing that voltage upon them. It'll go beyond just what they do on the stage, but there'll be a fire on your personal altars. Yeah, there'll be a fire when you pray, when you sing by yourself. In the name of Jesus, there'll be a fire, a fresh fire. That's the fire you'll bring out when you come on stage. There'll be a strong touch, a new walk with God, completely different from what you used to know. Yeah, since it's getting stronger. I could feel like fire. I mean, normally I'll feel a tingling sensation on my hand, but I could feel like fire on my hand. There's a fresh fire. Fresh fire. Touch in the name of Jesus. Touch. Touch. The mighty hand of God comes upon you in a new way, in a different way, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Walk with him will be completely different. Completely different. You will know him for yourself. A deep walk with God. Touch. According to the direction of the head of a church. According to the direction of the head of a church. According to the direction of the head of a church. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. There's a realm in God where you don't see anything in the natural anymore. You don't see anything from the natural perspective anymore. You don't see anything from a natural perspective anymore. Everything is seen from God's perspective. Everything. Thank you, Lord. Everything new. Fresh. Everything new and fresh. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mankladoshta Brahando Sofredishta Brahande. Le Kladoshta Braka Mando Sokrobosto Veledi. Le Bosta Brando Sokroboso Veledishta Bahande. Now there are those people that I spoke about. I don't know if some of them were in the choir, but everybody, your eyes closed. That those people I spoke about, and God said it's power. God said there are five people you feel his power in a different way, completely different way. It's just an encounter with God that you will not be able to walk away from easily. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I sense that wind is blowing through the crowd. It's blowing through the crowd. It's touching people right through the congregation. Completely over to him. But there are people there that God's power is coming on in a new way. One special way. In a new and special way. in a new and special way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mangle dushta brahando sokro boso velishta bahane. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Yeah, le bokro boshto brahande. Lesso palikeshta brahande. Lengle keshto borosto velishta brahasto brokoso fradishta brahande. Le brahaso fradishta brahande. Lesuta touch. Le palabaso crobosto veledi. Le brando socom braste veledishta brahande. Le posto brando socro bosto veledishta brahande. Le bosto bredishta bahande le kekeshta bahanda. If you are sick in your body anywhere, just put your hand on it. Just put your hand on it where you are. If you are sick in your body, put your hand on it. That's a strong healing unction. I tell you, I sense it, but I don't have time to touch everybody that might be sick. But as you touch that part of the body, God's power comes upon you even now. Thank you, Lord. We rebuke every sickness and every disease. And I command your power upon them even now. Thank you, because they are made whole from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you are here and you need to give your life to Christ, please do so now. Put your right hand on your chest where you are. And if you need to rededicate your life, join them. Put your hand on your chest where you are. You've never given your life to Christ, do so now. Put your hand on your chest. You need to do it again because you are not sure of your walk with God anymore. Please put your hand on your chest right where you are. Thank God that salvation is simple. Thank God that it's easy. Thank God that it's all about you believing and confessing even now. So say, as your hand is on your chest right where you are, just say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Here I am. I acknowledge that you died for me and you rose again from the dead, that I might be justified before God. And as you gave your life for me, I return mine to you. I give mine in return. I thank you, because as I believe and confess you now, I am saved. Thank you, because you have said all that calls upon you shall be saved. And I call upon you this morning, and I am saved. Oh, thank you for everyone who spread that. Thank you for saving them. Thank you for keeping them whole, spirit, soul, and body, even till that day. And you present them blameless on that day. In Jesus' name. Somebody's had a problem with your foot. The problem is your foot. You have some kind of pain or something, but it's your foot. It's your foot that makes it difficult. So you kind of limp. But you limp. Let me just put it that way and leave it there. You have a problem with your foot. Who am I talking about? You have a problem with your foot, and I believe it's the right foot. Who am I talking about? Le proko posto radishta bahane. Le gesta hando so radishta bahane. I've not seen your hand. I was just about to stop when I sensed that you have a problem with your foot. I don't know what that is. Is that your hand up there? Just come out very quickly. Just come out very quickly. Le kedosta brahande so radishta malida brahando so prosto velishta brahane. Le kedosto brande seke la prasto radishta bahane. Just hold my hand. You know, years ago, God's power came upon my hand. I was in a meeting, and I just began to feel a tingling sensation. I didn't know what it was. I had to ask my friend, and he said, you've desired a healing anointing. That's it. It's a tangible healing anointing, and now it's come on your hand. And it's gotten stronger over the years. In fact, at the beginning of the year, it became stronger, and I asked God, and he said, yeah, it's not just gifts of healings now. It's the working of miracles. It's the working of miracles. So God's power flows right through you now. Flows right through you now. It goes all the way down through that arm, all the way down to that foot. And it touches it, corrects it, straightens out bones, tendons, everything. The power of God is upon you. Makaboshta brahande, le prosto veli, lakishta, lega, ashto, brando. Yeah, that's it. Just let it flow. Just receive it and let it flow right through you. Let it flow right through you. Just let it flow right through you. Don't pray. Just receive it. Just let it flow. Just let it have a free flow all the way. And it goes all the way, corrects everything that needs to be corrected. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ooh, thank you. Yeah, that's it. It's having free flow now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All corrected. Father, thank you. Thank you for that power flows right through us. That power flows right through us. That power flows right through us. Even now, it goes all the way to that foot. Corrects it. Straightens it out. Pain is gone. Yeah. Do that which only you can. Do that which only you can. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to give him praise this morning. Let's appreciate God this morning. Thank him, 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 thank him. You deserve a glory and be honored. So we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and be honored. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great.
There is no